Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of the Sensory Podcast. And today I'm going to talk about a topic that is not widely discussed in our industry and in any actually other industry as well. And this subject is sensory fatigue. It is different than palate fatigue. Palate fatigue is part of the sensory fatigue that I'm going to explain here a little bit. But I want to broadly talk about how we can be exhausted by sometimes too much exposure to sensorial data. Your brain is like a muscle, right? It's composed of a lot of different elements. And we all know that we need to work on our brain for memory, for example, or for other sensory aspects. We do it on this podcast. We talk a lot about how to improve our sensory skill by always connecting it to a memory, by creating those sensory cues, and by tasting and comparing. So what we're doing when we do that is working out our muscle, working out our brain, the same way we work out our muscle. And the same way we work out our muscle, we need some rest. We need some rest. Our brain needs some rest among this modern day where we are really filled with a lot of noise, information, and data. And that's the reason why sometimes we can have this sensory fatigue element, not just palate fatigue. So when I talk about sensory fatigue, let's define the words here. It's basically the exhaustion of your brain caused by an overwhelming effect of your five senses. It can be if you eat, so the taste, if you eat huge amount of very strong or very intense, intensely sweet, intensely sour, intensely acidic or bitter flavors. The classic example is when it's too spicy, right? When it's too spicy, your tongue is burning, and you don't know what you're tasting next. And if you keep eating super super spicy above your limit, well, then you're feeling almost tired, even though you've been just eating. So that's an example. But it can be the same with when you eat too salty, too sweet, too umami. Umami, I'm not sure. But it should be the same because you are working out too much that sensorial aspect. That's about taste. Let's move on to the second, to another sense. Your eye, your sight, right? And I'm sure that you've experienced if you work in front of a computer and you stay in front of it for 8+ hours, at the end of the day, even though you've been on your desk, you still feel tired. And while there's a lot of effect about your thinking process because you're probably doing a thinking-related job, and also the effect of the blue screen, but you are using your eyes a lot and you're getting tired. That's why more and more people nowadays, including myself, are wearing glasses or contacts to see better, because our sight throughout history got worse, and that is one reason. There's a lot of reason behind. I'm not going to get into the details right now, but one reason is that we've been using our sight much more than before. Sound is the same. If you blast the music out loud in your ear, you're gonna have some limitation and injuries later on. That's why I think now on is it on Spotify or iPhone, when you put the maximum sound, they give you a little warning that it may be harmful to your ear. And so the same way, when you're hearing or too much music sounds at high intensity, it may affect your sensory and create a sensory fatigue of being tired. And for the smell is the same thing. The smell and the taste, the sensory fatigue or more like the palate fatigue for the nose. Well, you know that now in fragrance stores and perfume store, they give you green bean, sorry, roasted beans to reset your palate. For coffee in particular, we can smell our skin if you don't wear any strong cologne or any lotion. And for our palates, we can have either water is the best element, or food high in potassium like banana, potato, and I think papaya as well, and all crackers. Crackers works, but I don't like it because it sticks to your gum, and I find disgust like a bit disgusting to reset again after that. That's why I stick to water and banana usually. But a little precision here on the palate fatigue. Palate fatigue happens mostly in coffee. So in coffee, we are tasting a lot of things, we are smelling a lot of things, and that's why we have this sensory fatigue. But more precisely, we have the palate fatigue more than the visual or the sound fatigue, et cetera, et cetera. And this palate fatigue comes because we are tasting a lot of things. If you are on the same day doing a cupping, plus dialing espressos and drinking coffee, trying to adjust a recipe, you are going to use your brain a lot to taste, basically. And that's something that happened to me a lot in the beginnings, until I managed to split my days effectively and split my tasting, or I would say sensorial days throughout the week more efficiently, so that I don't get this palate fatigue. Palate fatigue happens when your judgment becomes biased because of that accumulation of not just caffeine. Here, I'm not talking about the caffeine content that increase your blood pressure. I'm talking about tasting too much things. And that happens a lot when you are tasting a lot of coffee in the same day, basically. Because you are using a lot of muscle, a lot of memory on the same day to assess, score, or dial a coffee. And the best way to kind of solve that issue is take breaks and basically drink water. Basically just do the same thing as we do in working out or physical activities. When you are working out a muscle or you're doing a physical activity, you need to rest and to feed your muscle. So it's the exactly the same thing as working out a muscle. You need to, in order to improve in a subject, you need to work on it, take a rest to recover, and feed that muscle or that brain here. And so for brain, the best thing is water. I know it sounds really kind of obvious, but less and less water is consumed nowadays. So make sure you drink that gallon of water. Well, now I say gallon, but I have no idea if it's it depends on your weight and on your age, etc. But drink enough water so that you can really flush out all the toxins. Very, very important for your brain irrigation here, especially if you're on the plane. The working of that brain muscle, it works with, all those tasting and cuppings that we try to be really mindful to it. And the last part, and I think this is where I want to spend most of this podcast about, is how to rest your brain. You see, we live in a generation, in a world where we have a lot of sensory cues, a lot of sensory triggers, whether it's from our social media feed, the radio, the news, the screens on the roads. It can be all the smells and the food that we are having, the bunch of information that we need to process. We need to process a lot of information, and sometimes very, very trivial information, but our brains still take those as work. That's why you can read sometimes that some scientists or genius of the history, they don't know the phone number, or they use the same outfit every day because they don't want to have another kind of thought process going through it. And the whole idea basically is to just make it a little bit more simple. And by having less to think about, we can focus on what matters the most. Well, here it's making the coffee taste better, but it can be another thing in your own personal life. But if you want to really make something works better, focusing on it and kind of blocking off all the unnecessary noise can be very helpful for your brain sanity. Second is, and that's what personally helped me, is mindfulness, meditation, and yoga in general, but mostly meditation and breathing exercises. Why? Because first of all, it's not easy, and second of all, it's because you are just breathing and feeling your own self without to think too much. Obviously, sometimes we wander around, but we always connect to our breath. And you are not smelling something, you are not seeing something. Sound-wise, it's not too disturbing. So that mindfulness meditation of focusing on your breath really slows down your brain waves. So when I say brain waves, basically your brain creates an electrical signal that is received or triggered and communicate with your organs, your muscle, et cetera, et cetera. And by slowing down those, you can really sort of rest your brain. And that creates an amazing effect on the next hour or the next day, depending on when you do that practice, where you become much more mindful and much more connected to the now. Because that's what is about sensory fatigue affects how you basically engaging yourself with your senses to the actual moment. I know it's a little bit philosophical here, but if you just think about it a little bit, if you are not here, then you're either in the future or in the past, but you cannot fully experience the sensorial aspect or sensorial experience of now, whether it's that cup of coffee that you want to analyze in terms of aromas, flavors, body, aftertaste, or that music you want to compose, or any sort of thing you want to create. By being more in the now, you can really focus on what matters for you once again, right? But as I explained, the sensory fatigue elements and the sensory fatigue definition, it's really, really something that is impacting our generations more so than ever. And I believe that regardless of the industry here, if we can focus a little bit more on being a little bit kinder to ourselves, we will reduce that sensory fatigue. And for my coffee professional friends, palate fatigue as well, because palate fatigue is basically taste fatigue, which is a sensory fatigue, and become better at our craft. I know this one is a little bit different, but it's a subject that really passionates me, on how to be more mindful in our everyday life. Because at the end of the day, at Memory Coffee Lab, we roast our coffee with mindfulness. And that's what it doesn't mean. It means being in the now and creating an experience that will give you the best abilities to think and to feel a certain emotion or mood. Thank you very much. And if you have any question, feel free to let me know.